You know, listening this morning, I kept hearing a part of what I want us to think about this morning. And that is the subject of God's great gifts and the gifts that He's given to us through Christ. And what I want to do this morning, and our exposition is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to take a number of scriptures and go through them very quickly. And then we're going to draw from them for our message this morning on the subject of the great gifts that God has blessed us. So what I'm doing is I'm going to go through a number of key scriptures that talk about those gifts and what a blessing they are for us to have. Now, before we do that, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful things you've given us, the grace that you've given us, the love you've given us through Jesus Christ, the gifts that are there for us to continually be reminded of who you are and the great things, your greatness and your power and the sacrifice of Christ. Father, we ask your blessings upon us this morning as we study your word. Father, we know that those scriptures are a gift to us. And Father, we ask that you're blessed upon us, that we have the wisdom to understand it, to use it, to share it, to allow those passages to change us so that we constantly recognize you and share you with others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So look at Christ's gifts. And as I think about this time of the year, and I have a lot of ideas and gifts that come back to my memory when I was a kid. I remember when I was 7 years old and I got my first bicycle. I think almost my only bicycle, essentially. But it was a blue bicycle, and I rode it until the chain rusted and the bike rusted and the handlebars were coming off of it and the wheels have worn out. I remember that. I remember those things. And I thank God for them. I also remember gifts where I opened and I said, "What is this? I don't want this." You ever done that? You probably have. And now as adults, we do it still, but it's usually in our head. We don't say it out loud. So you say, "Thank you." So, but as you think about those things, we're blessed. We're greatly blessed with the gifts that we have gotten. And so as you think about Christmas and the things that go around in a lot of people's minds at this time of the year, is we want to use it as an opportunity to share our faith, to share the gospel, and to think about the things that God has given us and take opportunity also to give to those who are in need. So I think it's very true that blessed are those who trust God to receive His gifts. And His gifts are amazing. So we're going to look at a number of scriptures very quickly. And some of these you're familiar with. I know you're familiar with this one. And we're going to go to and look at what God has given us and very specific passages again about those gifts. So we'll start with John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." So God has given His only Son, God's gift of His Son. And again, if you got your bulletin, you can follow along and use that as well to fill in. Let's keep going. Look at this. We have God's gift of justification. In Romans 3:24, Paul says, "For all who believe and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We're justified. We're made right with God as a gift from Him. Furthermore, we have in Romans 4:4, Paul says, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." And this gets to a very important part on our view that of what God has given us. He's given us grace. He's given us justification. He's given us forgiveness. All these things are a gift of God. And there's a lot to apply there and to think about. Because I know there are many that say, "Well, I can work it," or "God owes me salvation." But that's not what we're going to see here. Let's keep going. Ephesians 2 adds to that and elaborates on it. Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul again talks about the gift of God. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing." You didn't do it. You didn't work it. He says, "It is the gift of God." You see the theme here throughout the scriptures when we come across a reference to it being a gift of God. It's by God's favor, by His grace, that He saves those who can't in any way work for it. It's not, as it says right here, not a result of works so that no one may boast. It's all given to us. God's given it to us. This is His wonderful gift. My most lengthy passage here to look at is Romans 5, and it stands out because Paul is emphasizing the word gift. You've been given something. And so Romans 5:15 through 17 says, but the gift, the free gift, the word free there's in italics, it's not there in the Greek. The translators put it there to be emphatic. He says, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of God, or the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You have the gift of grace through Christ. And he keeps saying, and the gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, talking about Adam. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. So when Adam sinned, it brought in judgment, it brought in condemnation, it brought in the knowledge of good and evil. But we're condemned under it. And so the scripture says, the free gift, that gift, following many trespasses, many sins, has brought justification. God's gift is to make you just before Him, that on the day of judgment you stand without blemish, without fault, because all of your sin washed away. It has been given to you. And what do you do with that gift? That's what we want to think about. Let's keep going. He says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And I think about that and I think, I want to reign in life. I want that gift, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I want to receive it. Let's keep reading. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us about the gift of God. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've read about justification and salvation and grace and ultimately in Christ. And here it is eternal life that is God's gift to us. He doesn't owe it to you. But He favors you and He loves you. And He gives us this gift and you have to receive it. You have to take it. You can't pay for it. It's given to you. James 1 and verse 17, I think, is a great summary to the list of passages we just looked at. A good conclusion. James 1, 17, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything you've ever received, every blessing you've ever had, it has come from God. And it says, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is constant and unchanging and always blessing us. And so as we think about that list of scriptures this morning, we want to use this. We want to think about this. Do you think about the depth of God's gift? Do you think about what He's given you, the blessings of it, the significance of it, and what it means to you? Do you think about God's gift of salvation and grace and eternal life? There might be some of those gifts, like I was mentioning earlier, that you might get sometime, and you take it, and you say, oh, this is nice. And you set it aside and forget about it. You might be finding gifts you got last year and never even opened. You know, you get the box, you set it aside. Maybe it's fruitcake. You got fruitcake, you set it aside. It's still there. You're going to send it to somebody else this year. I don't know. But there's a lot of those kind of gifts that we're not very thankful for. And there should be a clear response in the scriptures to that. And you see it here in Romans 11, verse 33. I'm going to share with you another passage in a minute. The response from Christians is to thank God. The response from us is, God has given me the grace, and He saved me from sin. He's given me eternal life, and I'm going to live in that grace, and that means I'm not going to have any more part of that sin. I don't need any more. I need to think about how I'm saved. I need to think about what has been given to me. I need to think about the extent of eternal life. All those things, when you realize and you think about them, they change you. All right, so this is from our bulletin. Got a little fill in the blank there. Some observations from these scriptures that we just looked at. So God's gift of eternal life, it comes to you through His only Son, Jesus Christ. And that was from our reading in John 3, 16, 17. His only Son. As Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. There is no other way to have eternal life, no other way to be saved from death, no other way to be saved from rebellion against God, no other way to be saved from hell than in Christ. And only through Him. Another thing we see here, these are my observations that I'm taking from these scriptures, that God's gift of grace, it cannot be bought or earned. You can't afford it. There's nothing you can do to pay for it. There's no way for you to earn it. God's gift of grace cannot be bought or earned. God gives you a gift that you can receive, but never repay. And what do you do with it? You know, isn't that gift that we get and we just toss it away and forget about? We put it to use. The greatest gift that anybody can ever give. We see it through God, given to us through Christ. We see this in the gift that's given. And I think about this and I wonder, you know, I think about what my parents gave me growing up. And I know their love in it. And I think about those events and birthdays and things like that when they've given me special gifts. And I know that where it came from, that they loved me. They weren't giving everybody those gifts. They gave it to me, their child. So God loves you more than you can ever love anyone. And that's demonstrated. And when we think about these things and we realize them, it changes us. When God loves us that way, we love others. When God gives us everything, we're willing to give to others. When God has forgiven us like no one else can forgive, we're willing to forgive. We'll put away the grudges. We'll put away the resentment. We see this. God values you more than anyone can value anything. There's nothing else that any person on this earth can value more than the extent to which God values you. That He loves you. That He's willing to give everything for you. You see this as well. Observations. God's gift to salvation is given. It's given by favor. And that's just an interesting thing to think about there, is that God favors those who believe and trust in His promises and who will accept them. That when He gives the gift, that they'll take it. And when you take it, then you have that grace of forgiveness, and then you can live in it. But sometimes I think about this, the individual, and you might think about the parable of the sower in this sense, when the seed is sowed and some of the soil, you know, didn't receive it at all, and some of it received it, and it had died out or was choked out by the weeds, the things in life. And you see those individuals who hear the gospel, and they're glad to hear it, and then they obey it, and they're baptized, and then soon after they leave the baptism. They forget the Christian life. They forget the gift. They forgot that their sins have been washed away. They neglect it. It makes me think about the warnings in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul mentions how Moses and the people of Israel went through the Red Sea, and they were baptized into Moses, it says, but then they rebelled, and they went into sin. They forgot the gift that God had given to them. Romans 6 and verse 23 brings this to mind, as I'm thinking about other passages as well. God's given you everything. He's given you life, breath, and everything. And His gift of faithfulness is eternal life. Eternal life. I love the idea of that. I live eternally, that on the last day when Christ comes back, I'll be resurrected with Him. That never gets old in my thinking. I want to live in that heavenly country. I want to rise from the dead the way that Christ does and the way the Bible promises. That's a wonderful thing to think about, to have a body that's glorified like Christ. That is the gift of eternal life. That is what is given to us, was promised to us. And then I'm going to add a point here again at the end, and I've already mentioned it briefly. The more you recognize that God saves you from the evil of sin, then the more you don't want to return to that sin. You've been saved from it. That's the gift. You don't go back to it. You don't go back in rebellion. You live in a saved life, live in a changed life. How do we respond to this? Or do you respond to God's grace? You know, I appreciate it when, you know, we have song leaders and others who are encouraging us. Make sure that you smile, that you express what you believe, that it's shown in the way that you live and the things that you talk about. And that's certainly true. If we recognize God's gift for what it is, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to thank Him for it. And one of our passages that we shared on Wednesday night was 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, where Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift." Inexpressible. You can't thank Him enough. The wonder of it and the thought of it. Oh, we don't want to be the person who receives something and never thanks that person for it. And here it is, our Creator has given us all things. Do we thank Him? I want to share with you from Romans 8 before we begin to conclude this morning. Romans 8, verses 31 and following. And listen to what, again, the response here to what God has given us, to the great gifts He's given us. Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare His own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And God does give us all things. When you think about the resurrection, you think about all the blessings you already have, the life you have now, they're all from him. But you think about this. God could have said, the Son, my Son, I sent, he lived the perfect life that you, the rest of you, never did. And could have left us to bear the penalty of death. And he didn't do that. Because he is just and righteous and loving, his Son died on the cross. Continue reading. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? People can charge us, they can slander us, they can say whatever they want against us falsely. And what's the end of it? It won't matter. God is on our side. We'll be delivered from whatever we face. It is God who justifies, what it says here. God is the one who makes right. He is the ultimate judge. Who is to condemn us? In other words, that word for condemn, who is to judge us and say, you're not worthy? Nobody is. God's already said we're worthy. He's already said he loves us. He's demonstrated it. And if people go around and they tell you you're nothing, don't listen to them. You've been made in the likeness of God, and Christ has died on the cross for you. God knew you. He formed you in the womb. He knows the number of your days. And you mean everything to him. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died. He died that death. And more than that, who was raised? He rose from the dead. And who is at the right hand of God? And why is Christ at the right hand of God? He's there as king, and he does this for us, who is interceding for us. In other words, he's speaking on your behalf. He's advocating for you. He's on your side. That's the great gift of God. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword? None of those things can separate us from God. Romans 8:38, just a few verses down. Verses 38 through 39, Paul says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way I can be separated from God is to take his gift and say, I don't need it, not to thank him, to ignore it, to rebel. And that would be the only way that I would separate from him. We're in a place where nothing anybody says or does to us is any ultimate threat to us, because we trust in our Creator. We know what he's given us. When your eyes have been opened, you've come to that state of accountability where you know good and evil. You also know your weaknesses. You know your guilt. And I can't see why anybody would not look at this world and not see that we have meaning and purpose. All things created for a reason. And we also see, because of the state of humanity, that we need a Savior. And God has given us that. The greatness of God's gift extends beyond you. He's given it to you, but it is a gift that you can both partake of and share with others. And I hope that we think about that. When you're with friends and family, when you're traveling, there are others that you get to talk to. Talk about your faith. Talk about what you believe in. Pray with others. Encourage those who are around you to trust in God. And these are the great gifts that we've seen from our Creator. There's an invitation. Acts 2:38, I think, is very fitting. Peter, preaching on Pentecost, is asked the people asked, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's at that point at which we're baptized that we receive the gift of forgiveness and grace. That's when we are receiving it and accepting what God has given to us. It is at that moment that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and all the blessings that come from God's Spirit, that they've been poured out on us. Let's thank God for these things. Let's think about his great gifts, not forget him. With everything else going on, that we remember Christ and remember to share that truth. This morning, if you want to receive God's gift of salvation, you can put him on in baptism. You can repent of your sins, having confessed your faith. You can be baptized and rise up in the newness of life, having all your sins washed away. Thank God for these wonderful gifts. Honor him and don't forget him. Whatever your needs are, we encourage you to come. Let's stand and sing together.